Troubled by its entanglement with US big tech, France has cut ties with the surveillance company Palantir, which for the last decade has provided data analytics for France's domestic intelligence agency, DGSI. France is not alone in taking back its digital sovereignty in this way. Germany has also ditched Palantir, and agencies in both countries are cutting ties with Microsoft. Power, security, and money all have a role in this story, which has been covered for Politico in Paris by Océane Herrero, who joins me now. Océane, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Océane, remind us, what is Palantir and what did it do for the domestic intelligence agency?
Well, Palantir is a US company which focuses on data analytics and which works with a lot of intelligence services across the world. Germany was using those services as for recently, and France is trying to cut ties now with Palantir too. So it's a company that deals with very sensitive data. Of course, when you work on domestic and domestic intelligence, so it has been in the hot seat over the past few years, and even more over the past few months, as the discourse around sovereignty has taken importance in Europe. So today, it's really contested in the public sphere. So that's where the debate is at the moment.
The contract with Palantir was renewed late last year. What has happened since then to reverse the view of the French government on the value of this company?
Yes, that's what's very surprising in the French case, because the contract, as you said, was renewed in last December, so it was very recent, over the argument that there was no competitor that had a product at the same level of quality as Palantir. But the French Prime Minister decided a few weeks ago to announce that the French intelligence services would progressively switch to another service, which is called Chaps Vision, which is a French company. So it has been a surprise for a lot of the ecosystem, actually, and even people at Palantir didn't hear about the news before the Prime Minister announcement. So it was very sudden for them, but at the same time, it's part of a larger strategy of the French government that knew that in the end they would have to cut ties with Palantir. So they have been pushing Chaps Vision for a few years now, and this announcement will open a period of progressive adaptation. So Palantir will progressively leave the intelligence services to leave the room for Chaps Vision, which could take between 1 and 3 years, according to the French government.
So it hasn't been a sudden break.
It has been a sudden break with the announcement, but actually, it's a larger dynamic that has been going on in France and even in Europe for the past few years.
What role in this decision has been played by United States legislation, the Cloud Act?
Well, it's something that's really important in the way the French government sees dependencies with US services, because services that are under the Cloud Act have the obligation to deliver data to the US government when asked to. So it is, of course, a big factor of uncertainty, which governments are less and less willing to take. So, of course, it's really at the center of the strategy of trying to diverse from those companies. But the question it opens is, do European companies that are settled to compete with Palantir, are they at the same level? Do they offer the same products? Because, of course, we are talking about intelligence services that need very high quality data, and so it's very sensitive.
The Cloud Act, for a moment, Océane, did that mean that information that Palantir was analysing for the French domestic intelligence service of about, say, ISIS terrorism in France, that information was available to the United States because an American company was analyzing it?
Well, it's the big question, because we have very little views over what Palantir actually shares with the US government. So, of course, it's a big factor, as I said, of uncertainty. And you still have this question pending, which is how much information the US government could get on both the terrorist groups that can be active in France, and both the way the French authorities handle them actually have. So it's really at the center of this discussion.
Oceana, are you aware of any times when United States authorities have used the Cloud Act to get information from the French security services?
Well, it has not been publicized, so we don't know exactly if it happened or not. But that's definitely one of the risks that could land on such contracts.
Another of the problems for France, as I understand from your reporting, is that Palantir is enormously expensive.
Yes, it is. And it's, as most of those services that are used by the governments are. So, of course, it's very expensive, and it's an area where governments are really able to put a lot of money, because, as we said, they need like high quality data and systems that can treat them very efficiently. So yes, it is.
Was there any embarrassment also around the figure of the founder of Palantir, Peter Thiel?
Well, that's not said explicitly, but we know that Peter Thiel is very close to the US administration, and he's also a figure that's quite controversial. He has a lot of takes about, let's say, the good and the bad, and it has a whole discourse about the Antichrist. So he's been a public figure that's hard to pinpoint, and actually he's been in France a few months ago for a conference on those topics, and it was quite a debate just to actually host him and have him speaking in Paris. But it's not, as I said, it's not explicitly linked to his personality, but of course it can play a role in the way he's perceived and his company is perceived.
Oceana, I could never get enough about the Antichrist. What was he saying? What was he saying about the Antichrist?
Well, Peter Thiel has a whole theory about the fact that we are seeing possibly the rise of a new Antichrist. So he spoke in a high-level conference in Paris. It was in January. So his concern is that the Antichrist, the modern Antichrist, spreads rumors about war, and that they spread the idea that artificial intelligence can lead to a totalitarian movement. So, in that category, for example, he puts Greta Thunberg, which is, of course, the climate activist. So
she's an Antichrist.
She's part of this movement.
I thought he might have been heading to a tender identification of Donald Trump as the Antichrist.
Well, he's someone who has quite conflicting views in this. And he actually also went to the Vatican to spread those words, where he was quite coldly welcomed. But it didn't stop him from trying to get influence over this debate.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I'm talking to Oceane Herrero, a reporter for Politico in Paris, about the assertion by European governments of what they call data sovereignty. Oceane, the French government, and I think the German government as well, are also distancing themselves from Microsoft. Now, what's that about?
Well, it's the same problem with the Cloud Act that is a problem for both the French and the German government when it comes to Microsoft, because there is also this issue of possibly having transfers of data from American companies to the American government. And one of the, let's say, wake-up calls was when one of the prosecutors of the International Criminal Court, which is Clément Guyot, which is French, has been denied access to his Microsoft email account, and also other American services. So it really gave the idea or actually made it substantial that there could be a kill switch with American companies having to shut down services for some European users. So as for Palantir, it's been a debate that's been around for a few years, but recent news and the policies of the new American administration make this very much more relevant with time. So France and Germany are progressively trying to cut ties with those services and trying to find replacements. So it has been, for example, for the French government trying to replace video conferencing services that are used in the government, like Teams or Zoom or others, by a French service, which is Visio. So it's all those efforts that are supposed to lower the dependency on those American services.
Just on that question of the sanctioning of one of the prosecutors of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, this is the action that is taken by the United States on behalf of Israel, for the most part, it appears. And Francesca Albanese, another figure who has been sanctioned in this way, cut off from all of their bank accounts. I hadn't realized that it also cut them off from their email.
Yeah, it's a very broad ban, actually, because it's a lot of American services that we use every day. And once a decree issued by the American president bans you from them, you find yourself quite lost, because how do you function right now without an email address or without banking services? It's really complicated. So, of course, it has been something that's sparked a new debate on those dependencies.
Microsoft appears to have sort of denied this was happening for a time. Are they still denying it?
Well, yes, they deny for a long time, and now it's not something that they publicly enjoy to comment. But it's definitely something that will stick to them and really influence the way the debate is shaping in the coming months.
Are other European countries following suit, following what France and Germany have done in ditching Microsoft?
Well, it's progressive, but at the same time, the European legislation is also evolving in a way that would make the EU less dependent on those services. So they have, for example, a cloud sovereignty framework that's supposed to lessen the dependency on those companies that are under foreign law exposure. So there is an evolution on this, but at the same time, it's something that's, of course, very sensitive because the American government knows that American companies get a lot of value from public contracts in Europe. So it's something that's a part of a broader negotiations around commercial ties and dependencies.
Very profitable. You've also written about AI and a meeting between big tech companies and G7 leaders recently in France discussing AI. What has been the upshot of that?
Well, this debate came at a very interesting moment. So it was a lunch that was organized by the French government with the leaders of the G7 countries and CEOs from tech companies, among them Sam Altman from OpenAI, Dario Amodei from Anthropic, but also Arthur Mensch from the French company Mistral. And the goal was to open a debate around global regulation of AI. But it came at a moment where the American government just had banned new models from the company Anthropic from to be used by users that are not American. And Anthropic decided to shut down the model completely because they thought it was not possible to do this distinction. So it came at this moment where Europe was wondering if the US saw them as a threat or as an ally. And they tried to, let's say, play the part of saying that they are allies and that they can work together on making those models secure and, let's say, keep an open line with the US in trying to get a word in the way the new AI models will be shared with the world. And it's really part of the same discussion on access on technology.
But it's still at this point simply a discussion.
Well, it's a discussion, yes, at this point, because in the end, it's the U.S. government that still has the upper hand on whether or not the most powerful models, because they are American, are accessible to the rest of the world or not.
But Europe must be developing its own AI.
Well, France has been developing also its own ecosystem of AI models and AI companies. I talked about Mistral. It's really one of the companies that are concentrating the hopes of both the French government and also a bit of the European Union to be able to, let's say, have their own models, but also have a word in the regulation discussion, because if you don't have any companies and if you don't have power in this, let's say, AI race, it's harder to be listened to.
Oh, brave new world. Océane, thank you so much for joining us on Late Night Live. I've been talking to Océane Herrero, reporter for Politico in Paris, about the movement in Europe for asserting digital sovereignty.